Okay, just moving through to the sort of themes of the talk. What I want to go through, first of all, is why do we need an idea of different layers of learning design? And the primary reason is we've got a lot of learning design tools, many of which overlap. And one of the basic things we need to know about these is not only what do they do, but what do they not do? How should they be linking through to other ones? And I want to look through briefly at a sort of layers and service model. And I then want to pick up on two of those layers, the LAMS activity management layer and the sort of generative learning object layer, and how they interrelate. And just finally to finish up with some sort of conclusions on layered learning design. Why do we need the idea? Fundamentally, what I'm really saying is we need a pedagogical conceptual model of this learning design space. And we don't really have one. Learning designs, in fact, operate at quite a number of levels of granularity, from very small to very large. And at a practical level, I'm involved in the learning design support environment, which has about six universities headed up by Dan and Laurie Lohr. And that is trying to produce a set of tools to support design activity across the whole spectrum, from modules right down to activities. So that actually brings up key issues in the sense of how do we provide effective support, not just for reuse, but crucially for recombination and integration across this design space. And to do this, I think we actually need to make pedagogical sense of the design space, and in particular, how designs at different levels relate to each other. We've actually tended to rely on the technical standards, and the technical standards aren't really concerned with pedagogy in the slightest, and they don't really do the job adequately. Okay. Just delineating the layers, there are really two considerations. One is obviously you want it to be conceptually accurate, but the other one is actually, in a sense, has to be usable, because if you think about layers of design to be conceptually accurate, you might actually proliferate the number of layers to make sure you covered everything. But then it becomes too complex and people won't use it. So you want the reference model which is both accurate but also, in a sense, usable, accessible. Now, I won't go into a huge amount of detail on the model because I gave a talk on this at Cal in Brighton earlier on. But part of the thing is actually, in an important way, is linking designs and the instantiations of those designs, if you want the learning objects. So I've put basically at a simplified level here. On the right-hand side, three major levels of design. We've got design up at the level of the module. We've got design at the level of classes or sessions. And then I put here design at the level of specific learning objects, focused on one clear learning goal or objective. Now, if you actually look at the learning objects work, you find a sort of parallel hierarchy. And to expand that slightly, the first dimension I want to look at is one of service. How does each layer provide a service to the layer above? Or to put it another way around, how does the layer above make use of the services at the layer below? And I should say at this stage, I think that IMSLD has a particular blind spot in this particular area, which I'll come to later. And the second one is actually instantiation. Because learning objects are instantiated as artifacts or, if you want, learning objects. And there's some very interesting work, actually, on different aggregation layers of learning objects. So there's a potential for integration, both not only across learning design, but actually linking through to a lot of the work on learning objects. And what we're saying is each layer of design has an instantiation with a learning artifact at that level. So that's just a sort of simplified starting point. Now, the model needs to be elaborated a little bit, but I don't want to go into a lot of detail. But fundamentally, if we take our three basic layers, and obviously you can go above the module again, but if we take sort of roughly module, session, and basic learning activity, you need to, well, I don't want to expand this in a lot of detail, but for example, if we take session, compound session, module, what it's saying is a module can consist of a session, a set of sessions, or a set of compound sessions. So, as I say, I just looked at my son's course, one of his economics courses in Manchester. It consisted of 12 individual lectures. But it's very often normal to break it up into, say, a lecture plus a practical or a lecture plus a tutorial. So you have a little compound session which has a unit, and very often it's run on a sort of weekly basis. So we have, going back to usability, the model actually doesn't come out as too complex. So, for example, a module can consist of a series of individual sessions or a series of compound sessions or really any combination. I've actually explained it at that level because I think it seems quite simple at that level. But the same thing is echoed below. that a sort of session, and for me, LAMS operates at this session level. It's a learning activity management system. The learning activities are really at the layer below. And what I want to look at in this talk, just to simplify things, is how can you get design at this sort of basic learning activity layer and the sort of LAMS session layer, and how can we integrate them? I say I have actually produced a full paper on the layered model, so I'm not going to go into that in too much detail here. But what I want to look at here basically is this base learning design layer. Now, the first thing I should say is, I said IMSLD has a blind spot here. IMSLD basically operates really at a session level, and it talks about services and content. And it actually treats learning objects just as content that are loaded in. Now, my argument is learning design at this level is actually crucial. When people fail to learn something in mathematics or programming or whatever, it's because they can't understand the concept. And that's not necessarily because someone's got the lesson plan wrong. It's because they come across a concept like logarithms, and they really don't know how to come up with a learning design which enables the learner to interact effectively with that. So to me, the first thing I'm saying is there's a very important layer of learning design here. And ironically, it's the layer of learning design which is most directly concerned with learning and less directly concerned with teaching. So what I'm saying is we need different layers of design, and those layers need to interrelate, need to interoperate in some way. Now, I actually switched my slides around this morning. So if we take here, I'll start off with the sort of session level. And if we go into LAMS, you can create a sort of a set of activities, obviously in LAMS, by dragging and dropping a number of activities. And what I've done in the next slide is just abstract that. So let's call it Learning Activity 1, Learning Activity 2, Learning Activity 3. I think boxes actually are intellectually quite interesting, because it's saying there's a context here. There's a context, a set of micro contexts, and there's a top-level orchestration context. And a lot of things don't tell you a lot about, in detail, about the learning design within those contexts. So I want to take one particular example. Say let's take an example where you want quite rich multimedia learning. Okay. So what might you want to do? If we pick up, for example, learning activity 2, one of the things you might want to do is use the material from the level below. So you might want to pick up, say, a multimedia learning object. This one was about referencing books. It's quite popular. It's actually everyone wants to. It's sort of something which is generically useful over and over again. And at that level, you're within the sort of classic IMSLD model. However, you might also want to actually adapt it. So a few weeks ago, our librarians came to us and said, well, we really like the learning object, but the form of referencing we use is different from what you've got in there. We want our own adapted variant. And you find with referencing, you could easily finish up with 10, 12 different variants because people use different referencing systems. So you really want to be able to adapt it. And the third level of use, in a sort of triangle of use, is you might actually say, well, look, the resource I want doesn't exist. I need to design one. And we were in that position several years ago when we developed learning objects for programming. And we developed a set of learning objects designed and developed and specifically to help students deal with certain concepts they struggled with. So if we go back to the idea of service here, this level here should really provide the service to the next layer above, not just in terms of these are resources you can use, but also these are resources you can adapt and link in. And finally, if the resources aren't there, there are design frameworks at this level you can use to create your own learning resources. Okay. So what we have got, and then, of course, what we have got is that's linking just to, if you want, one of the micro contexts in LAMS. So if we take this example, if you wanted to introduce referencing, you might in LAMS go in, for example, and have some introductory material. You might go in and access this learning object and it's the form it's supplied or adapt it for your students. You might then go out and have a discussion or whatever. So you can actually orchestrate the activities together. The difference is that in this case, the lower level down has been thought out quite carefully in terms of design. And what I want to do is introduce how we do that in a moment. Now, if we get that sort of level, we actually have this sort of service relationship. And what tends to happen if we're not careful is in learning design, we create a jigsaw, but all the pieces of the jigsaw are different size, and they just don't fit together. You can look at any one and think, this is nice, or look at another one, this is nice, but try to put them together, and it doesn't work. And we need a conceptual model. What are the units? How do the units link together? And the layered approach is a contribution. to a model like this. Okay, so everyone obviously is pretty familiar with LAMMs. So what I want to do is go to this lower layer and say, how do we go about, in fact, at this, how do we go about having a model of design at this basic learning object level, and how does that model provide the services that I've just mentioned? And that really, in a sense, links through to having a certain idea moderated through a tool which will then produce the specific learning objects. And the tool I want to introduce is called GlowMaker 2. It's the second iteration. And in this conference, in lunch, etc., a lot of people have been talking about the importance of the interface. That even if you've got good ideas, if the interface isn't good, it's not going to work. We've actually spent a lot of time and effort in trying to make this interface as easy to use for tutors as possible. And Dan, who's there, produced GlowMaker 1, which actually established all the basic ideas. And we spent a lot of time actually just making it as user-friendly as possible for tutors. Now, the easiest thing at this stage is actually to go into a demo of the system. So if I just bring it up, and this is still not released, so there's still bugs in there, so we just might run into one or two bugs. Hopefully we won't. When you go in, what it says is what you want to do. Open a new project, create a new project, open an existing one. Let's say we want to create a new project. Now, there are various built-in patterns here, and there's also a freestyle mode where you can create your own design from scratch. Let's pick up one of the patterns, okay? And you go into what's called a sort of planner screen. And this design, just to fit the background, was derived from a set of learning objects for learning programming. And those learning objects actually won a European Academic Software Award back in 2004. And they were very successful with the students, but they were just concrete learning objects. So what we did is go back and say, what is it? What is it in the design of these learning objects that helped them to succeed? Now, when you go in at this level, what you get is the top-level pattern. It's the top-level storyline. And one of the things you learn about design doing this sort of thing is design doesn't exist at one level. It actually permeates right through. But at this level, it's saying the basic design is, you know, introduce what the topic's about, then get the students to apprehend, get an overall apprehension. So if you're doing some strange construct in programming, show them what it does so that they understand it before going into the details. Then you go through this step-by-step explanation. And we always finished up with a construction task. So they would actually construct the target code, but under quite supportive conditions. Now, at this level, all I've put up at the moment is a little storyline. All I've put up is text. One of the things we learned very quickly, however, also is that the pattern... Oops, I'm trying to just... Sorry, I haven't got a mouse here, and I find it really a bit of a pain. If you've got one, it would help, yep. This computer also tends to play up. Okay. Thanks, that will help. Hopefully, if it picks it up. My computer's been playing up this morning, so if I have to switch screens every now and then, it locks, and I have to switch just to unlock it. It's not picking it up, so it's okay. Is it? Yeah. Yeah, I know the idiosyncrasies of this machine. So, okay. Right, so what we've basically got is a sort of top-level thing. Now, say, let me just show how we can alter this. People came along and said, when they used this pattern, actually, for our use of the pattern, we actually don't need apprehend. Okay. But what they said is, what we'd like, for example, is to be able to grab the student's attention, to be able to explain to them why they've learned. So I can just link that up. So it's slightly stiff, the thing, but and then align. So the pattern is, in a sense, a core sort of little plan, but there's a set of variations. What it actually is a little decision tree, and there's a sort of basic set of decisions you can make, and the pattern captures that. So at this level, the tutor just can go in and it's just text. And in freestyle mode, they can create their own. They can add their own labels, their own text. And in freestyle mode, the same happens. This is now going to happen with the pattern. So if I go into the designer, what it's done is pick up each of these functions. What's the topic? Grab attention, why learn? But for each of them, it has automatically created a screen for realizing that function. It's also added here, pedagogical guidance. Now, for what topic, that's pretty clear. It's just introduce the topic to the learner. But you can actually go down through and it explains, you know, what it's about. If you want more detail, say go to comprehend, I can click here. And you get a little pop-up box. Now, it's quite handy at this stage to make the stage slightly smaller. Okay. And so here, for example, that's in a sense what you're trying to do. This is how you do it. And then there's a little example. So the teacher can actually see what it's likely, you know, what the artifact's likely to be at the end when they're finished. Okay, so you've got the pedagogical help built in. Now, one of the, bring that up again. Okay. However, you say, well, what happens? What happens if they don't want the default screen? Okay. So in a sense, it's saying, you've come up with this little plan. Here's a default set of screens. But if you don't want them, you can overlay it. So you can actually override any of the screen layouts and choose any of the alternative ones here. And there's this little one called blank page. And if you choose that, you can actually go into a components panel and actually put in whatever components you want. So we've got one, for example, for, well, take obvious ones, like this one for text. There's one for video player. Then there's more that have to do specifically with learning, like building a little word assembly quiz. And those components are built in. The way the tool is built is the architecture is built so that's extendable. We run a lot of workshops with staff. And staff come up with interesting ideas. And what we intend to do is actually capture those. And the way the tool is being built is you can actually build that little resource that they want as a separate program. And then when you're ready, you can link it into this because the architecture is built to actually support that. Okay, so let's actually have a look at perhaps a more interesting example of learning design. So if I actually go to, I'll just go to a different pattern. Okay, and what I'm going to go is look at this one. Okay, sorry, this access view. So if I go to designer, we've got a different pattern here. And we've got a really interesting function here called access views. What happened here is we work with the National Centre for History, Classics and Archaeology. And they're humanities-based, obviously, subjects. And it was interesting because a few years ago, humanities people said to us, we're not interested in learning objects. This is a very positivistic, mechanistic way of doing things. Here they came to us and said, you know, we've got this pedagogical need and we want to build a learning object. And they were thinking of a specific learning object which was supported. And what they wanted was the idea of appreciating multiple perspectives. The students would appreciate that there isn't a factual, truthful answer to this, that there are actually multiple ways of looking at it. And their original example had to do with interpreting an artifact from ancient Greece. It was actually an altar from the Parthenon. Now, when people look at this, they very quickly pick up that this little design is actually highly modifiable. So what we've got here is a sort of component which captures the basic idea of the design. And what I'll do is very quickly build a learning object using this phone. So if I just click here, there's a little panel down here which says I can browse. So I'll just pick up a picture, and I'm going to actually pick up a picture of the Graduate Centre at London Metropolitan University. And what I'm going to do is actually do a little learning object which is about people giving different interpretations of this. But obviously, you can load in whatever artifact you want. And if I just move this sideways slightly, that unit there is actually different from the rest. So if you decide, I don't want the still picture, I want the flash animation, or I want the movie, you can load them in. You can choose the topic that you want. Now, what's interesting then is what you do with it. So if I go in here, let's say we want them to talk about a topic. You can choose it. Okay. And let's say they want to know about the origin of it. Or you want them to know about the origin of it and say what's the purpose. Now, we actually, I won't go into it here, but this thing is very flexible. Topic 3 will say we don't need, so I'll just delete that. There's a little couple of buttons down here which says add speaker or add topic. So you can add as many speakers or as many topics as you want. Okay, we'll stick with 3 for the moment because that's reasonable. So I've got a couple of topics, I've got an artifact. In fact, if you decide that looks slightly stretched, so if you really want to adjust it, you can do that. One of the interesting things is to make it both pedagogically sound, but also attractive to tutors, we had to spend a lot of time getting little features like that working. So everything's resizable, removable. You've got full word processing controls, none of which is interesting from a research point of view, but absolutely essential if you're going to get tutors to use it. So we've got origin purpose. So I set up a few speakers. So I click on speaker one. And down here, there's three little browse buttons. And the first one here says image. So I'm just going to pick up, it's just a photograph. You can pick it up from the, that's interesting, because this only happened this morning. So let me, as I say, it's basically, it's still in, it's still not, I say it's still being developed. There's a few small bugs in there. Well, yeah. Interestingly, it's actually, I only picked that up this morning. I just feed it back. They can sort that out. Mm-hmm. If I go into Designer, I can jump straight to Access Views. I'll just very quickly load the picture again. This gives you an idea of how quickly you can do it. If I go to here, and we decided that that would be Origin. And this was purpose. Okay, I'll just, if I click in the speaker, okay, it says choose a topic first. All right, just click in the speaker. Down here, I can load an image in. Okay. And I'll just create one other speaker again, browse for an image. So it's quite fast, quite easy. And what we're doing is actually building a multimedia learning object. Now, the interesting bit here comes at this stage because if I click in the speaker now, I can actually add sound and transcripts. So if I actually add the sound, so for example, okay, and if I'll just in fact do it also for this speaker. Oops, that's, I didn't
want.
I'm adding a sound file. I'm going to play it in a moment. Okay. So if I actually add a little sound recording, okay, so let's have a look at the preview. That's pretty fast. Now, one of the things about learning objects is people talk a lot about sequence. There's a sort of sequence at the top, but it's up to you totally what order you want to do things in. And it's also up to the student, by the way, because the student can actually jump just to the bit they want. If they wanted to go to the test at the end and just do that, or go to the test and work backwards, they can do it. Okay, but if I go to what we've just created, and effectively, so we've created origin purpose. I haven't deleted topic yet, or I haven't deleted speaker. I can do that in a minute. But if I click on the speaker, it says choose a topic. So I'm asking this speaker about the origin of this building, okay? So, I just realized something I did this morning. Okay. I turned the volume down because I didn't want to interrupt people during. Okay, we'll go back and do it again. So I've asked them, you know, what's your view on the origin of this building? Okay, let's go to.
The origin of the building springs from the spatial emblem of the northern scarp.
The origin of the design comes from the intense urban life on Holloway Road.
The origin of the building.
So, what we effectively can do is interrogate the experts. We say, what's your view of this origin? What does this other person think? The way they did it originally, they had people like historians, classicists, archaeologists, all giving different perspectives on this Greek artifact and different interpretations. But it's up to you what artifact you want to put in here, anything where you actually want multiple perspectives. And what the tool enables you to do is create that very quickly. So we have a learning object which has this in. You can say, yep, I want that learning object on ancient Greece. You probably come back and say, well, actually, I don't. You might actually want to go back and say, I like the pattern. And the pattern can be used in different ways. So, for example, we had one group, one teacher, FE teacher, who said, well, I'm not even going to develop a learning object. I'm going to give it as a tool to the students. And they're looking at local history. So the students went out and interviewed people who had lived 60 years before in the area. And they put in a picture of the area here. Okay? And then they actually had these people giving the different perspectives. So what you've got is a very flexible sort of design. So what we're doing basically in the tool is you can create a top-level plan. And I say in freestyle mode, you can basically just drag across, label the nodes. Whenever you do that, it automatically guesses an optimal set of page layouts. You can then override those page layouts. You can choose your own layouts, or you can choose whatever patterns you want. And as I say, there is a very powerful set of components in here. So, for example, just to give one very quick example of that, so if I choose a blank layout, so I said, I don't want that layout, I'm going to have a blank one. And what I'm really interested in here is I want a text box, okay, and I'm going to have it here. And if I go into that, I've got this full set of text controls. And what I want also is a video player. Okay, so I want to play a video. So I can click here, create a video player. Okay. If I click in the video player, I can browse. I can link in a video. So if I go to, I know I've got a little one here, I think, yep. And this is one of our tutors used. And she picked it up from an archive of resources online. So if I preview now, I would have the appropriate text here, and
Eric Cantona,
you've got the video, okay?
Et acteur français, est né en France, et la justice l'a condamné à une peine de.
Okay. And what the tutor actually did was create a lesson in French. You know, she used these news film archive online and then did it in a way we didn't expect. So what you can actually do, but the key bit going back here, is it's actually based on, you know, a clear pedagogical plan. What we have tried to do is weave the design and the implementation in together so that effectively you can either, when the learning object is output, you can say, that's it, I'll use the learning object. Or you can adapt it. So, for example, you can go back in here, and if you want, for example, you can delete any of these nodes, you can add other ones. One of my favorite demos is to translate it into Mandarin, because I have a Chinese student who actually did that in Hong Kong. So you can actually select the text and replace it by Chinese text. So you've got internationalization. Now, what I'll do is just come out of this and just go back into the finish off the talk. So I've just got the demo. It's just a couple of pages. I can go through to final one. Okay, so why is it important? Okay, first of all, what the talk is about is there are different layers of design based on really the granularity of the learning objective. I'll just clip this back on. However, if we've just got a set of things which don't interrelate, it's not much use. So what we actually want is a service relationship between layers. So if you're in LAMS, and LAMS is powerful at many things, but for example, it doesn't focus on rich multimedia learning. You can actually set up a LAMS sequence, open up a learning activity, either you reuse a learning object, adapt it, or create a new one. And the two layers operate relatively independently, and they do because the learning objects are always focused on just one clear learning goal or objective. They were built to be reusable at the next layer up. And so what it actually supports is high-level and low-level design working together, or coarse and fine learning design, which is another way of phrasing it if you want to be slightly more provocative. It points very, very strongly towards collaborative design and development. To really make this work, you want people who are working and producing very high quality, high level designs, high quality level designs, but they can actually interrelate, they can interoperate. And it will not work if you have, I think, very well, if you have the traditional model of the sort of hand loom lecturer. You had the hand loom weavers who actually resisted very strongly industrialization. And, you know, if we keep having this model of the individual lecturer in his or her own kingdom, you will always have limits because there's a limit to what they can do. If they've got a 15-week course, they'll start thinking in big, big units because they haven't got time to think any better. What we need to be able to do is either work in groups or make available high-quality resources at the different levels. And I think if we get this right, we've actually got the basis for a step change in the power of the learning designs we can create. And by learning designs, I mean something that actually impacts on learners, not just a tool for teachers, something that actually produces for the learner a quality and depth of learning that they wouldn't have available otherwise. Okay, thank you.